How's everybody doing? Thank God that you are safe. Thank God that most of you have power. Pray for our brothers and sisters that don't have it yet. Pray for the linemen, first responders. Everyone has pulled together in such an incredible way. Thanks be to God. Wow. This weekend is a lot better than last weekend. Hallelujah is right. I've just come from teaching Life at Hope 101, a class full of new members joining the church to the glory of God. Come on, somebody. Amen. And if you haven't gone through that class, get it next month when we offer it, because that's where you start your journey towards the divine purpose that God has for your life. We are kicking off a series today that we were going to kick off last weekend until we were so rudely interrupted. Irma. I'm filtering stuff. So we're going to kick off the series, which is all about team and teamwork. Whose team are you on? And we're going to put together a stage design. I've been walking through the auditorium while they've been putting it up, and I can't help but think when I see these goalposts about a song that was published and released in 1976. Bobby Bear released a song called "Drop Kick Me, Jesus, Through the Goalposts of Life." How many have ever heard that song? A few of you have. It's not in the hymnal. I didn't even know it was a song. And when I see the goalpost, I think of this story from my childhood. Some of the funniest things that have ever happened to me have happened in church. I don't know about you, but funny things happened to me in church. And one of them was when Brother Vaughn, who used to live far away from God, he was in the bars. He was a bar sinker. Singer. And he was messed up. But he came, thank God, he came to faith in Christ. He centered his life around Christ, and his whole world was different. And he used to sing in our church that we grew up in. And he hadn't quite made the differentiation between singing in the bar and singing at church. And one day he brought one of his bar songs, which was a Jesus song, you know, "Drop Kick Me, Jesus." He brought his bar song to church. And it was funny. He sang, and I've forgotten a lot of songs from church. I have never forgotten this song. "Drop Kick Me, Jesus, Through the Goalposts of Life. End over end, neither left nor the right. Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life." I've asked Mark to learn it for this series. I don't know if he will. But the scriptures use everyday occurrences to teach us spiritual and life lessons. The scriptures actually use sports that teach us spiritual and life lessons. And we're going to take a lesson from the sports field and look at it while we're together today and through this series. The lesson we're looking at comes from the football field. And if you've ever, how many people have ever watched football? They run plays. They run a play. And then usually in between the plays, they have a huddle, and they get together in a small circle to strategize, to encourage, to motivate, and get ready to run the play next time. Now, just a couple of things. One is, in the family of God, nobody should be in the stands. This is not a spectator sport where you are watching a few people on the field do things for the Lord. Actually, we would like to call all of you out of the stands and join us on the field of battle. That's what's important. And then, once you're on the field of battle, it's important that you learn to huddle up. That you learn to share your life, and this is Connect Sunday, where we emphasize connecting with a connect group, a small group, because we're concerned constantly as pastors and spiritual leaders that people get stuck in their rows, which actually become a rut. And the scriptures call us to do our spiritual life in circles, not in rows. This is important, but also that is important. And so this idea doesn't just come from us. It comes actually from the Word, the Book of Blessing. In the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church added 3,000 people in one day. I would like to see that around here. Come on, somebody. It would mess things up. People would be sitting in your seats and everything. But that'd be awesome. Be awesome. And here's how the scripture explains. Here's this incredibly dynamic church, which is a model for us. We're not trying to get away from this church. We're trying to recapture some of the power of that. Well, not some. Let me rephrase that. We're trying to capture all of the power of this New Testament church. Because they turned the world upside down. What are we doing? Yeah, come on. I'm preaching. Thank you. Here's how the story goes. Then those who gladly received his words, because Peter is preaching about Christ, and they received Christ, they received the word, and they were baptized. And that day, there were 3,000 souls that were added to the church. And they continued steadfastly, or they made a commitment to, or they were dedicated to these four things that we're going to talk about today. These four things we're going to talk about today. The first thing they committed themselves to was the apostles' doctrine. Let's all say that together. The apostles' doctrine. Just reminding you, this is not a spectator sport, so when we say, let's all say it together, it's all of us. Ready? The apostles' doctrine. Very good. And to fellowship. Very good on fellowship. You'll probably be even better on this one. Breaking of bread. I thought you'd like that. That's food. That's the food ministry. And to prayers. And this one better be big. This has got to be a big one. Here we go. Prayers. These were the... Okay, wow. A little echo in the room. These are the four things that this church did. Apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Now, where did they do them? Well, this passage tells us. There were two places that this church operated to do these four things. Verse 46, they continued daily. Their life with Christ was not just a weekend experience. It was an everyday experience. They continued daily in one accord. They had each other's backs. They watched out for each other. And they did it in the temple. That was the house of worship. That's like we are gathered together right here in the house of worship. There were thousands of them that got together in the house of worship, and the breaking of bread, which we just read about, and they did that in a place of their homes or their houses. It says they met in house to house. Now, you could not fit thousands of people in your house. So the house gatherings were much smaller than the worship gatherings, right? Can you see the concept? House of God worship, thousands of people, house-to-house worship, small. And they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They were praising God, and they had favor with all people. And I love this. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That's what I would like. First of all, I'd like to have that 3,000 day. And then after that, I'd like people to be added every day. And it happens when we follow the model. Come together on the weekends, House of God worship, but don't miss out on connecting with a connect group. And there are four things that we do in these connect groups that will cause your life to surge forward, for you to fulfill your God-given potential, and they flow out of these four things that happen when you are together in a connect group, a small group, which we're emphasizing this weekend. The tables out in the lobby, all about connecting with a connect group. Here's four things that happen when people get together in a connect group. The first one is the apostles' doctrine, or you could write down in your study guide, good beliefs. The apostles, in fact, the word apostle means one sent. The apostles were ministers who were sent from God, and they came with a doctrine. A doctrine is a set of beliefs. Every person in this room, every person that's watching this message right now, every person has a set of beliefs. You have a doctrine of life. It's the beliefs that guide you. You got a lot of them early in life. Not all of them were positive, and all of them can be reframed and reformed when you understand that you can start to line up to the apostles' doctrine, good beliefs. And the apostles had one major person that all of their beliefs revolved around. Does anybody know his name? They were all about Jesus. Every time they opened their mouth, they were talking about Jesus. Every time they got into a conversation, they talked about Jesus. When they were brought before the courts, they talked about Jesus. When they were persecuted, they talked about Jesus. They talked about so much about Jesus that people finally just said, shut up! Literally, sorry I said that. Did I disturb somebody? Sorry. We don't even use that word in my house. In our house, that's a curse word. It just came out of me. Pray for your pastor. So Peter and John were hauled up before the commission, the courts, and guess who they were talking about? You could read the whole thing that he said, but I just took one verse to emphasize. It was all about Jesus with the apostles. Nor is there salvation in any other name other than the name of Jesus. For there is no other name other than the name of Jesus. That's what we've been talking about this whole chapter. Under heaven, given among men, by which we must be saved. They were all about Jesus. So, Christ-centered beliefs are what connecting with others in a connect group are all about. It's really not too, some people are afraid of connect groups because they're afraid of what will happen in them, or they're afraid they won't be good at them. It's not too hard to be part of a connect group. You get some friends together. You ask them how their week is going. Hey, how's your week? What's been going on? And whatever topics come up, then you just ask this question. The apostles were the original WWJD guys. Like, this, what would Jesus do? You've got an attitude. What would Jesus do? How did Jesus think about this? Here's what I found that Jesus helps me with. For example, when you have friends that are paralyzed with fear because of storms, there was a little bit of that going on last weekend. You say, but Jesus says that we should cast all our cares on the Lord because he cares about us. We're trying to get our belief system to line up with Christ's belief system. And when we do that, people's lives get better. So it's about promoting a Jesus way of thinking and a Jesus way of living. And that's what connect groups get together. They follow the apostles' doctrine, which is essentially the doctrine of Jesus that always asks, what would Jesus do? If your group just got together and discussed all of your life issues and just said, what would Jesus do? It would be an incredible connect group. Not too hard, right? Now, not only did they do that, they had fellowship with each other, or they enjoyed a life-giving inspirational friendship. The fellowship meant they had good friends. How many would like to have good friends? Put your hand up. You'd like to have good friends. Well, they had them. Koinonia means to jointly share together. That's the word for fellowship. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. It means to jointly share together your life. To literally do life together with a group of people. I would ask you this question. Who in the church knows the struggles that you are facing? I'm going to ask that again. Who in the church, other than Jesus, knows the struggles you are facing? Because if nobody does, it's because you're not connected with a group of people like the House to House, where they got together and they said, I got your back. I'm with you in this. We have to be a community that is known by our love and that watches one another's backs and supports one another and helps one another. That's what connect groups are all about. They get together and they share fellowship. I got your back. How could I help you? You need a generator? You need some food? You need a shower? Behold, he stinketh. That's in the Bible. That's in the Bible right there, that verse. We're here to help. We're here to help you when you need help. There's a lot of stories about fellowship in the Bible, but there's a guy that I love in the Bible. He's sort of an unsung Bible hero, but I love him. His name is Barnabas, and he is so important because Barnabas was a good friend. And all of you that say, I would like a good friend, here's how you be a good friend. Barnabas was a good friend. Barnabas was the one that when Saul, who later became Paul, was persecuting the church, helping to kill Christians, had a dramatic encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and then said, hey, I now am a Christ-centered man. The apostles literally looked at him and said, we doubt it. I know you think that's hard to believe, but if you had someone that you knew killed Christians last week, and then they showed up this week saying, hey, I joined. Go, really? Well, Barnabas was, and he is the one that was a good friend to Paul, introduced him to the apostles so that Paul could become part of the apostles, and that's important because Paul wrote over half the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. How many think he's important? And his importance wouldn't be known except for a guy named Barnabas who was a good friend to Paul. When Paul needed a good friend. Here's the story, chapter 9 of Acts. Barnabas took Paul and brought him to the apostles because the apostles didn't want to have the meeting. And he declared to the apostles how that Paul had seen the Lord on the road, that would be the road to Damascus, how the Lord had spoken to Paul, and how Paul had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. Barnabas was the kind of friend that Paul needed. I would like you to have a friend like Barnabas. In fact, even more than that, I'd like you to be a friend like Barnabas, who walks with people in deep, dark valleys and through the storms of life, who doesn't run away from someone's struggles, but runs to their struggles with help and healing for them in the name of Jesus. That's what they had. Christ-centered beliefs, incredibly supportive friendships, and then they had something called, thirdly, breaking of bread. And breaking of bread was a lot more than just food. It was about communion. It was about communication. The New Testament had two main parts of breaking of bread. Christians would get together and share a meal together. I just want you to know that eating together is very spiritual. I thought there'd be more amens because it's in the Bible. Eating together is very spiritual. Because they did it. They would have something called the agape meal. And they would share together through the breaking of bread. Then when they were finished with the agape, they would have communion. Communion was to break bread and celebrate the presence of Christ. So at the table, they broke bread to connect with God, and they broke bread to connect with people. And isn't that what it's all about? Love God, love people, love life. That's what it's about. That's what they were doing. Here's our problem. We have fast food friends. We have drive-through relationships. And if one lane is not fast enough, we add another lane. You'll have to tell people about that later, because that's drive-through. Drive-through is not going fast enough. We have to add another lane. It's not fast enough. We do our food in about 60 seconds, and people in general don't eat food any longer. They inhale it. They run through the kitchen. This was not the case in the breaking of bread. In the breaking of bread, they spent a long time. And I would encourage you, brothers and sisters, in fact, I would just, in the name of my boss, the one who directs me, on behalf of my Lord, I would just say, brothers and sisters, slow down and break bread. Because in the breaking of bread, there was deep communication and deep conversation. And you can't do that sitting in rows. Right now, one person in the room is doing most of the talking. It's not deep communication right now. I'm talking, but I always have this idea that I would love to sit with each person and just listen to know what's going on. Now, I can't do that. I can't do it. It would take all my time, and I would never be able to prepare to speak. And I would never get through all of you. And then you'd go, well, I'm not his favorite. He doesn't listen to me. So you need, brothers and sisters, to connect with a connect group where you can have substantive communication at a deep level about the real issues of life. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 20, we see the breaking of bread connected. Acts 20 is a great chapter. You can read the whole thing. There's a lot of lessons in Acts 20. One of them is don't sleep in church. A guy dies from sleeping in church. You may not know about that, but it's in this chapter. Just that's a whole other topic. But they bring him back. They bring him back from the dead. That's exciting. This is just the kind of church I want to be in. I want to be in a church where, like, not that people die when they fall asleep. That was not a thought. Where people are being added daily and the power of the Holy Spirit is present and things are happening, spiritual things are happening. And so this guy falls down from an upper story window. They bring him back in verse 11. When he had come back up, they broke bread and they ate. And what did they do? They talked. Do you see this? A long while. They took time to communicate. Let me just say, for families, eat together. Set time as a family and schedule to eat together. Do not have a run-through kitchen. And when you eat, brothers and sisters, please, 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 please turn the television off. I'm not getting much traction on this one. I'm going to try. Obviously, I hit a nerve here. I'm going to drill down on a little bit then. Turn the television off. You can't have breaking of bread. I'm telling you, it's impossible to have breaking of... We're breaking bread together. Let me go a step farther. Leave the telephones away from the table. I'm just doing a little glory dance right there. Come on, somebody. Like, I see it all the time. People, even in church, they're sitting around a circle, connecting with people who are not present when they should be connecting with people who are present. If I'm bugging you, I'm really doing it on purpose today. No, I'm just, this New Testament church with so much vitality and love. They took time. It was to eat in the Middle East is a long time. They had to prepare the food. That took a long time. They had to eat the food. That took a long time. And they had deep conversation. And we need to have, as brothers and sisters, to get out of our rows that have become ruts and get into circles and share our lives together. That's what it's about. And then when we pray, when we have Christ-centered beliefs, when we have life-giving relationships, when we have deep communication, we will be a place of prayer where we can pray in what the Bible calls one accord. And when people pray in one accord, life changes. I wish someone would get that. Because that New Testament church, that first century church, they prayed all the time. They prayed and the Holy Spirit guided them. They prayed and they received supernatural power and strength. They didn't do their life by themselves. They did it under the power and guidance of God, which they received when they took time to pray. When they got in trouble, they didn't go on social media and complain. They prayed. You never see. Sometimes there's problems with the government, I get that. But you never see Paul writing to the Ephesians going, "We are starting a petition. Would you please sign your names?" Now, I'm all for like participating, I'm all for that. But before all that, I see this church praying about everything. Almost in every chapter of the book of Acts, there's a prayer or a recorded prayer meeting. I think prayer was very important to them. And when they prayed, God helped them. So Peter, you know, we read earlier from verse 12 of chapter 4, Peter is before the council, the very council that condemned Christ to death. And they command Peter at the end of their council meeting, they command Peter, no more talking about this Jesus. Go out, but you cannot talk about Jesus anymore. So what does Peter do? He doesn't get up a petition. He doesn't even get on Facebook. He called the church to prayer. And did they prayed. Wow. They prayed with power and intensity. You could read the whole prayer. It's an amazing prayer. And the prayer ends like this. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. I've been in one prayer meeting where the building shook. I'd like to be in another one. Some of you are looking at me like you are a weirdo. You're crazy. I'm crazy to have a church that has the stuff that these guys had, that saw people come to the Lord every single day, that impacted thousands. That's what I'm crazy about. They prayed together and the place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I'd like to see that. I said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I'd like to see that. And they spoke the word of God boldly. I'd like to see that too. Prayer is incredibly powerful. And when we have people that are in a deep level of fellowship, a deep level of relationship, a deep level of communication, I believe that there will be a release of a deep level of prayer. And that we do pray. We pray when we're together on the weekends. We do that. But when these people prayed in Acts 4, they were in a house. a week ago when we watched that storm come across the Caribbean, did so much devastation, hit the Keys, devastation, hit Marco, devastation, then start coming up the coast. Now, everyone had their own plan, and whatever you felt to do, that was right for you guys. Some left with the grace of God. Some stayed with the grace of God. We chose to stay. That was our choice for several reasons. But we were watching it coming up. And it was just a little after 5 o'clock, and I felt the Lord say, ask people to pray together at 6 o'clock. So I just put out a little message on social media. Let's pray together. I know you've been praying all day, but let's pray together at 6 o'clock that the Lord will diminish the strength of this storm. So I didn't know. We had power. We had power then, but it was coming and going with people all over. And I didn't know if we'd have power at 6 o'clock, but at 6 o'clock, I was going to attempt to go on Facebook Live for the first time in my life. We do Facebook Live for me, but I don't do any. I just talk and it goes somewhere. Somebody pushes buttons and stuff happens. But I didn't know, okay, so I come out and Tommy was there. I said, Tommy, what buttons do I push? Can I make my phone go on Facebook Live? He said, push this button. I said, okay. So pushed the button and went on Facebook Live and just said, brothers and sisters, I really feel we should pray together. And I felt some prophetic things in my heart. I said, they've called this storm a monster of a storm. It's like a giant. I said, let's pray that the Lord will send shearing winds and chop the head off this giant. So we prayed with humility. You got to be very careful. You don't get arrogant. But we just prayed in humility, and I encourage people, let's pray in humility, not in arrogance. We're going to speak some things, but we speak it in humility and in trust in God. And people started joining us in prayer from other countries even. And I don't know how many people were praying, but I know over 5,000 people have seen that video of praying for the storm to weaken. And as we prayed, we came to the conclusion of the prayer. You can track this. Storm shifts and diminishes in power. The weather people were on going, we don't know why this is happening. Meteorologically, we don't know why this is happening. In fact, one broadcaster said, this must be an answer to prayer. I think it was. So we finished that time, and I was so thankful to God and just thanking God and talking to the Lord, saying, thank you, Lord. All glory, all credit, all honor be to the Lord Jesus. Thank you. And then I really felt the Lord say, what happens if my people got that energetic about praying for people who are far away from God? Praying for a renewal, a Jesus revolution, praying for culture and society to be changed, praying that they would change their world and turn it upside down like they did in the book of Acts. What happens if we pray that way? Those kind of prayers, and I believe in praying in this house should be a house of prayer, but I believe those prayers are prayed from house to house, where we pray the prodigals in, where we see people that are far away from God transformed and their lives changed by the power of God. Because that's what happens when people connect with connect groups. The power of God is released. It's why the enemy opposes it, and why I keep, like, we're together, not just me, but we together emphasize this, because it's hard work, but the result of the hard work will be a shift in the atmosphere in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. So let's stand together for prayer, close our eyes and open our hearts. And I would make this invitation for you, your life, to come close to God, for you to become a Christ-centered person, You may have been wandering far from God. You may have been doing your own life. You may be in very self-centered or other-centered. But this is a moment for you to become Christ-centered, to receive Christ. And if you're here and that's the kind of prayer that you need, then I want to just see that by you putting your hand up high enough in the air. And if people put their hand up, we're going to pray. How many say, that's me today? I need that. Yeah. Okay. We have some people here. Yeah, people that are here. So, yeah. So we're going to pray this prayer together. Let's do it out loud. Let's ask Jesus. Let's let the Spirit of Jesus that is in this place do miracles in our hearts as we pray in the strong name of Jesus. Out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, I need you in my life. I repent of my sins and I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. Now, Lord, I pray for your church that it will be wise, that it would be guided by the Holy Spirit, strengthened by the Holy Spirit. I pray that we would get out of our ruts and share life and share our prayers and our support and our deep communication with others. Help us, God, to capture these truths that helped your church to turn the world upside down, because our world needs to be turned upside down, Lord. And so help us, Lord, is our prayer. This we pray in the name that's above every other name. Amen. Look this way just for a moment, because in a moment, we're going to just let you go out to talk with people. I'm going to encourage you as best I can to connect with connect groups, to ask some questions. Maybe it's 10 weeks. Do 10 weeks to see the results in your own life and learn to do life with Christ-centered beliefs, with deep friendships, good friendships, with the sharing of deep communication and prayers that change the world. And this we pray in Jesus' name. We love you guys so much. We bless you, and it's been good to be together. Grace and peace to all. Amen. God bless you guys.